Okay, well, Phil's already prayed for us as we come to God's Word, so let's get stuck in straight away in 1 Corinthians. And, of course, all of us should by now have completed our census forms. I hope you've done yours. If not, you could be fined. One of the questions was, what is your religion? I guess, I hope most of us answered Christian. But what if there was a follow-up question to that? What if there was a follow-up question that asked you, what marks you out as a Christian? What makes you different from anyone else? I wonder how you'd answer that one. Well, you know, if your answer had to be marked and graded, the examiner would be looking for a few key words. I wonder if you would have included them in your answer. First, I wonder if you would have included sanctified and holy. A Christian is someone who has been sanctified and called to be holy. Now, the two words, sanctified and holy, are very similar in the original language of the Bible, if you're into this sort of thing. Hagiadzo and hagios. And the meaning is also very, very similar. So, to be sanctified is literally to be made holy. So, you might say that verse 2 reads like this. To the church of God in Corinth, to those made holy in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. One of the TV programs we love to watch in our house is called The Repair Shop. You may have seen it. I can imagine Gordon and Dorothy, I bet, love that program. Whether it's Steve repairing a clock or on one or two occasions, my old youth leader repairing a guitar. There's Dave Kennett. He repaired a guitar a couple of times on The Repair Shop. Isn't it great to see something that was damaged and dirty and unfit for purpose repaired, restored, mended, cleaned up and made fit for purpose? Well, when we came to faith in Christ Jesus, he sanctified us. He cleaned off all that mucky, sticky sin that we were thinking about last week. He realigned our hearts towards God. He straightened out our hearts' desires that had become sort of bent in on ourselves. So, having made us holy, having sanctified us, he then calls us to be holy. When Dave Kennett has taken hours and hours to painstakingly restore a valuable guitar, he wants it to be played. He wants it to be used as it was meant to be used. He doesn't want it to be used as a cricket bat. You know, guitars aren't meant to be used as cricket bats. It ruins them, and they're really not very good cricket bats either. Not that I've ever tried, but I'm sure they're not. Restoring or sanctifying us was literally a painstaking job for the Lord Jesus, who had to suffer the humiliation and the agony of the cross in order to achieve that for us. And it involved superhuman power, his resurrection from the dead. So you see, having done that amazing work in our lives, God says to us, now, I want you to live what I have made you to be. I have sanctified you. Now live holy lives. I've cleaned you up. I've forgiven you for the way you misused yourself and others. And your heart is now set on honouring me. You don't simply want to do whatever pleases you or whatever makes you feel good. You want to serve others and live pure, holy lives. So I give you this calling. Be holy. Be what I have made you to be. And being holy covers every single area of life. As we go through 1 Corinthians this summer, we will see what it means to be holy in our relationships, in our church family, in marriage or singleness, in worship, in our use of time and money and skills and gifts, and even how we approach death. But just think about it for a moment. We live in a world of broken people. We are surrounded by broken people who use their lives for the wrong purpose. They're like they're using a guitar as a cricket bat. But Jesus has restored and repaired us, and we now live our lives for the right purpose. And that, of course, puts us at odds with the world around us. We'll be seen and treated as misfits. Broken people will be threatened by those who have been restored. The pressure will be on us to be like them in our attitudes and our behaviours, in our beliefs. But the good news is, although it may sometimes feel like we're alone, maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe at school, we are not alone. We are the church of God. We are the church of God. There are people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord, the same Lord. So if our first key words were sanctified and holy, words that define us as Christians, the next are church and Lord. Jesus doesn't merely sanctify us and then expect us to go off and do it all alone, struggle off on our own. No, he restores us and gives us a new purpose within his household, which is the church family. So we're here to support, to encourage, to enable one another to live holy lives. Now the church is, on the one hand, the local church. The church in Corinth, in this letter. The church in, Nairobi. The church in Dusseldorf. The church in Hawkenbury. And at the same time as being the local church, we're also part of the universal church, the eternal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And it is because we have been sanctified by God that we can and do call on his name. He has made us fit to be his people, and that is what we are now, Christ's people. His household. He is the head of our household. He is our Lord, our Master. But we're free to call on him at any time we want to. And he encourages us to do just that. Now, it's easy, isn't it, to begin to think that church is just an ordinary thing, no different from being the member of a club or a society or something. But actually, it is no ordinary thing at all. No, Paul reminds the Corinthians and us of how special it is to be called a member of Christ's household. So let me read from verse 4 here, and notice some more key words, which I think it'll come up on the screen there. Can I read it from here? Yes, I can. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Key words here. I wonder if you spotted them. Grace, enriched, wait. Grace, enriched, wait. And until Christ Jesus got hold of us, We were, of course, no different from anybody else in the world, just as filthy and broken as anyone. And God did not look around the world and he didn't look around and say, yes, Rachel, and Bill, Anton. Yeah, they're trying hard, they're doing all right, they've got potential, so I'll choose them. No. He did not do that. We had nothing about us that made us stand out from anybody else. But God was gracious. Why did he choose you or me? I have not the faintest idea, and sometimes I wonder. But he did. He took hold of us and he sanctified us. That is grace. But his grace, as we've seen, didn't stop with sanctification. It moved on to enrichment. In Christ, you have been enriched in every way. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. What do you do if you don't believe that? What do you do if you think God has not provided all you need? What do you do if you think others have more than you do spiritually? What do you do if you think you have more than they have, spiritually speaking, that they lack some kind of spiritual gift or maturity? Well, there was this kind of thinking going on at Corinth. And there are attitudes that can infect us today. You see, we think sometimes that God has forgotten to give us all we need. And we demand more. And if we think that God can't provide us, we'll start to look elsewhere for someone who can give us what we think we need. Or if we think that others are more spiritually gifted than us, we'll look up to them with envy. And if we think that others lack the gifts or maturity that we have, we'll look down on them with pride. And when that happens, factions begin to develop. The demanding gather round their powerful political leaders. The proud gather round their anointed, gifted leaders. The envious gather round their humble servant leader. And that's what had happened in Corinth. There were divisions and quarrels and factions. I follow Paul, said one. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. Well, I follow Christ. Do you see? It seems as if some of them were claiming that because they were baptized by Paul, they had something special, something better than other people. But Paul says, no. Verse 15. None of you were baptized into my name. I wasn't crucified for you. Christ is not divided into those who are baptized by me and those who are baptized by somebody else. No, verse 17, I came preaching the gospel, the good news, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You see, the Corinthians were impressed by great speakers, great orators. They'd have loved Winston Churchill, but despised the stammering King George VI. They loved clever arguments and quick-witted put-downs. But Paul says, I don't have any of that. I came simply with the power of the gospel of Christ crucified. And that power has been displayed in you Corinthians, in you St. Peterites, as you have been sanctified, as you have received grace, as you have been enriched in every way and brought into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, wait eagerly. Eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to come, and trust that God is faithful and he will keep you blameless until that day. Yes, God has enriched us here at St. Peter's in in every way. We lack between us no spiritual gift. No, not one of us has every spiritual gift, but between us we have all we need for St. Peter's for today. And we will have all we need for tomorrow. And I can tell you, I have to tell myself that every single day. Does that mean we're perfect? No, certainly not. We have been sanctified, yes, but we're not yet perfect in the way we live that out. Yes, Christ has cleaned us up. He has realigned our hearts to God. But we're still prone to wandering. We're still prone to returning to old, broken ways. We pick up the guitar and see if it makes a good cricket bat after all. Envy, pride, doubting God's goodness are all familiar ways, aren't they, to all of us? They beckon to us. And so we need to hear that call every day. Be holy. Be what I have made you. And that promise will be fulfilled in us, in you. Holiness begins and ends with God, not with us. It is by His grace that we are sanctified, by His faithfulness that we're kept to the end. And so we keep looking to Him for the power that we need day by day. God has given us all that we need. So don't be envious of others. And at the same time, don't look down on others. But receive the grace of God with humility. Every church leadership team worries about providing sufficient youth leaders, children's workers, finding committee church wardens, council members, finance, the building, websites, computers, GDPR, health and safety, and the list goes on and on these days. And we need to remember constantly that it is the Lord who called us. It is the Lord who sanctified us. It is the Lord who makes us holy. It is the Lord who enriches us together in every way. In every way. And we thank God that He has done so for over 100 years here at St. Peter's. Well, if you doubt yourself, what do? We look to Christ, to His grace. Of course we're not worthy. If we were worthy, if we were good enough, Christ would not have had to die for us. We're not worthy, but we look to Him for grace and for Him to enrich us in every way as we seek to serve and please Him day by day. That is the power of the cross. Let's turn to Him and pray. Our loving Father, we thank You for all that You have done in our lives. As we look back and see how far You've brought us, what changes You have made in us, we are deeply grateful. Father, we are also deeply sorry for those times when we go back to the mud, back to the filth of our old ways. Forgive us. And help us to see afresh, Father, the wonder and the glory of living with You, for You, sanctified, holy lives. Please, Father, continue to enrich us in every way as we need Your help. And may we follow on waiting for the Lord Jesus with quiet, humble trust, constantly looking to Him. In His name we pray. Amen.